Okay, good morning and welcome to Beach Lane Presents. I'm Kate here and I'm coming to you from our beautiful library space. And with me, I have with me Barbara Churcher. Good morning, Barbara.
Hello, Kate.
Now, Barbara, you've been involved in Beach Lane with a couple of things. You've had a workshop that you've just run and you've got another exciting workshop coming up. And you're a psychotherapist and a counsellor. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you came to be involved in Beach Lane?
More about myself as a psychotherapist. Well, I trained in New Zealand. I've been a psychotherapist in private practice for 10 years now. And I've set up a private practice in Beaumaris. And that's my passion. That's what I love to do, is to work with people closely in that way. I became involved in Beach Lane through my daughter, who was looking for a space. My daughter's a photographer. So she was interested in a place where she could talk to her clients. And she came and looked here, and it's a little bit far away from her. She said, "Mum, I think you really like this place. Mm-hmm. You should come down." So I did.
Excellent. And when we hear the word psychotherapist, a lot of people might not know what that entails. What is a psychotherapist, essentially?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you asked me that, because I think that lots of people are confused about what a psychotherapist is. It's not a psychologist, mm-hmm. although a lot of psychologists are psychotherapists, mm-hmm. so it would entail an extra training for them. Or they might become a psychotherapist and decide they want to do the science of the thing. Mm-hmm. It's probably closer to a psychoanalyst. So if you think about Freud and all those guys, mm-hmm. those are our grandfathers, and we are descended from them. And we work very closely one-on-one with people. I suppose I think about my work as very individualised work. Mm-hmm. I don't work with any kind of techniques like the kinds of things people might think of, like cognitive behavioural therapy or anything like that. My work is to help people gain a lot of awareness of the way they are in the world. Many of us operate on very old codes that we learned when we were very, very young, mm. and we don't even know that they inform what we do. So my job is to sit in relationship with someone. The work revolves around the relationship between the therapist and the client, and we explore how that person is in the world. And as they come to know themselves more and more, they find that they change. So we don't really look for change. Change does happen over time, though. And we know that psychotherapy is the only therapy that keeps going after you finish seeing a therapist. Mm. You do keep changing and growing throughout the rest of your life. So it's not a short-term fix, mm-hmm. and it can be a difficult journey.
Well, it seems like most things that are worthwhile aren't short-term fixes and are quite difficult to begin with.
Yeah, I think that's so.
Mm. So it sounds like your approach is more about the individual. When you see someone, it's not like you have a set model that you're going to use. When you see someone, it's very much based on helping them to understand themselves better. Would that be right?
Absolutely right, Kate. And I'll start with taking quite a thorough history mm-hmm. of the person, finding out right from their very beginning. So I'm actually interested in someone from before they were born. Mm-hmm. And we look at all of that and we begin to make links with how that's affected them and how that's influenced their lives now.
So you do a lot of work with individuals, but recently you've run a workshop at Beach Lane to do with dreams.
I have.
Yes. Now, I'm so excited to talk about this because I was fortunate enough to attend this workshop, and I have to say that it really has been one of the most valuable things that I've done. I am a vivid dreamer, as you came to learn, and you do know quite a lot about my dreams now. But doing your workshop, I found really valuable because I tended to think when I was dreaming, oh, this is a crazy, surrealist mini movie that I've created while I was asleep. That's a bit weird, and not really thought too much more about it. But our dreams can be a really valuable thing to help us learn about ourselves. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background in dream work and why you see dreams as an important source of information about ourselves?
Well, I became interested in dreams as part of my training. So one of the trainings I did was in psychodynamic psychotherapy. Did my senior paper on comparing the dream work of Freud and Jung.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I became interested. And then I did a Gestalt training. And they think about dreams, or we think about dreams, somewhat differently. I think about dreams as your inner self, your unconscious, telling you things you need to know in a language that needs to be interpreted.
Mm.
Because the unconscious uses images and memories and all kinds of things to tell us things in a symbolic way. So then we have to interpret the symbols. And the only person who can truly do that is the dreamer, because it's their own personal language. So I think that there are various books and ways of finding out about dreams, but really the dream belongs to the dreamer. And as you now know, Kate, when we explore an image from a dream, it has a lot of meaning for you. It turns out to be really important. And I think that dreams always come to tell us something we need to know. They never come to tell us what we already know. They come to tell us what we need to know. So it's an interesting and fun way to begin to explore the unconscious and to start thinking about how we might want to develop and go forward in our lives.
Mm. Yeah.
And we do that, you know, we dream a lot. So you've got this huge source of information. You might as well be using it.
Mm. Well, it makes sense. It seems like dreams are something that, well, in our Western culture, they don't seem to be valued that greatly as a source of information about ourselves. But I know from experience traveling with other cultures I've encountered, it's quite a normal conversation to wake up in the morning and say, what did you dream last night? And I know some places in Colombia, for example, I was discussing with you, when I spent some time in the Amazon, some of the cultures within that area of the world, they value dreams so greatly, and they actually believe that they obtained their knowledge of natural medicine through dreams. One of the main things that I took away from your workshop was to, I guess, take ownership and responsibility for the things that I create in my dreams. I used to think, oh, I had a dream about this person, or I had a dream about this, but really I came away thinking, okay, no, I haven't dreamt about this other person in my life. I've dreamt about myself and some aspect of myself that this person is representing to me. And that's allowed me to approach my dreams in a whole other way and really enhance my ability to gain an understanding through what I'm dreaming.
Yeah, I'm glad that you took that away from it. We had great fun in that workshop, didn't
we? Yeah, we did.
We learned a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a really empowering workshop, and it's basically you come away with it with a better understanding of the importance of dreams as a source of information about yourself, but also we used a few different methods. So people will leave this workshop with tools that they can take away to make sense of dreams in the future.
Yep, they can.
Yeah.
You can certainly investigate your dreams by yourself, but as you and I know, it actually works very well in a group.
Yeah.
And so the group, especially if you form a group, which is one of the things that we're thinking about here at Beach Lane, it would be like a closed group of people who meet regularly to talk about their dreams. If you become part of a dream group, as I have been for some years, you get to know each other very well indeed, because you do very deep work together. So there need to be people that you trust. And the other people begin to be able to offer you quite a lot that you would not have thought of yourself. But you know that it belongs to you, because you get that aha.
Yes.
You get that great feeling, oh, yes, that's true. That feels really true for me. And the beauty of a dream group too is that the other people in the dream group get a lot from the dreamer as well.
Mm.
It'll be different things that are important for them, but it turns out to be a very valuable thing for everybody in the group.
Mm, definitely. I love how you talked about those aha moments. We spoke a lot about our dreams and listened to each other, and we had many of those aha moments. And I remember you saying that those are the moments that tell you that something is true for you.
Yes, that's right.
That's the only real indicator, I suppose.
It is, and I think that's probably, I love that word that you used before, empowering. That's the thing, you begin to trust your own knowing.
Mm.
Over time, I can remember one of those moments for you. I've thought about it since.
Yeah.
They're exciting, aren't they?
Yes, and I've actually left the workshop with a much greater understanding of the dreams we discussed, but it was in days and even weeks afterwards that those aha moments kept coming and I was understanding more about the dreams that we talked about. And I think it was really helpful to work in a group. Obviously, establishing respect and trust is really important because you are delving quite deep at times. Yeah. But we did that in a really respectful way, and some of the insight, well, you being a dream expert, it was so great to have your insights, but even other group members who weren't as experienced with dreams were able to help me understand my dreams. And the language we used was more, instead of saying, telling someone your dream must mean this or I think your dream means this, it was more a pondering, like, if that was my dream, I would think this.
That's right.
And you can choose to take what rings true to you or what doesn't. And as we said before, those aha moments are the real indicators.
Yeah. Mm. I guess I don't think of myself as a dream expert.
Mm.
I think that I know quite a lot now about exploring dreams, but I think everybody is their own expert.
Mm.
And it's important to remember that. And that's why you remember when you use that phrase, if it were my dream, because you cannot know anything for the dreamer.
Well, it's our own symbolism, isn't it? It's our meaning that's attached to these things that appear in our dreams. So it is only us that can really bring the meaning together in the end. But definitely having other people's insights is really valuable too.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very, very pointed message meant for one person, really,
and
designed by one person for themselves. So, yeah, you have to respect that.
Mm. So you mentioned earlier that you're considering running a dream group at Beach Lane.
Yep.
So what would that involve?
That would involve people meeting regularly, monthly, for a couple of hours, I think. Maybe 3 hours is a better time so that everybody has a chance to share a dream.
Mm-hmm.
So that over the month you collect your dreams, write them down, and then when we come together, we discuss them and see what we can make of them.
And will this be a small group?
Yeah, I think it can't be a huge group. It's maybe 6 to 8 people.
Okay.
It's big enough, I think, yeah.
So that will be an ongoing thing that will run, you said monthly, was it?
Yeah.
Monthly, yeah.
Yeah, so we thought that we'd maybe run it for a few months and see what people thought about it.
Mm.
Ask people to commit maybe for 3 months and then decide if they want to continue.
Mm, it sounds exciting. I know I'm definitely keen to be a part of this experience. After doing your first workshop, I was really hungry for more.
Yeah.
And it's almost like after the first workshop, I've started dreaming even more vividly. It's like my mind has gone, well, you understand this stuff now. You know how to interpret me. Here you go.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I think if you honour the unconscious, it responds.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you've also got another workshop coming up here at Beach Lane, and that's actually tomorrow.
That's right.
So this workshop is called The Long View, and it's a workshop specifically for women. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Because it's specifically for women because it's about ageing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the main message for me that I try to get across to people is that it's not for elderly people. It's for people who will become elderly.
So which that's is everybody, really.
Everybody who just got conceived.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the purpose of the workshop is to begin to explore the way we think about aging, which we have a lot of very traditional ideas about aging. But as you know, health is changing. People are living longer. We have more opportunities. And we also have a lot of problems in the world.
Mm.
And I think of people who are older as an enormous resource in the community. I love that word, community.
Mm.
And I think we need to focus on it really hard and think about the kind of communities we want to build around us. I think about the elderly people who just think, oh, well, I'm getting older now, so it's time for me to retire from life and go into a home. And I think of those homes full of a rich resource that we could definitely do with in our community. I started being interested when I read a book about 13 grandmothers from different ethnic cultures. And they get together a lot, and they have taken upon themselves the responsibility of trying to hold the world spiritually, because they perceive that globally we're in a lot of trouble.
Mm.
So I figured they could do with some help, and I'm hoping that we can build some for them.
Mm. Yeah, it seems that it seems like people in the later part of their life can be, I guess, devalued in a way in Western society at the moment. I love the way that you refer to in your workshop the idea of the conscious elder. We don't tend to hear that word used very much, elder. And the word elder to me has connotations of, well, cultures past and someone wise, knowledgeable, and very much utilized within a tribe, for example, or a community, someone to be revered and respected. Now we don't really hear of these people being referred to as that, an elder. We more hear words like aged, which has connotations of something that, well, really, it's almost a past tense word, something that has been. And not necessarily a word that that makes us think of respect or someone valuable. To be honest, it's these people can be referred to even as a burden or a drain, which really is quite tragic. What do you think are some of the virtues that people in the later half of their life have that are so valuable to society?
I think the first thing to think about is that in other cultures, elders are not necessarily old.
Okay.
So they're people who hold special knowledge, which they're ready to share and teach and use for the good of their community. So that's why I think that it's something that we need to think about. Young women your age, for example, can start changing the way you think about aging by beginning to consider the old stereotypes that we carry from the traditional view of aging. You know, next door to where we're sitting right now, there's a shop that has on the window that they offer potions that are anti-aging.
Yeah.
I think that's a really interesting phrase that's come into common usage now. And there is a very, very strong vibe that we're desperately trying not to age, and we buy any manner of potions to avoid this dreaded thing that is inevitably going to happen to us. I think it'd be a wonderful thing if we can turn that around and start shaping who we will become by the way we think about it now, by the plans we make, by what we think we will do then, and how we will skill ourselves up in order to be ready to do that.
Yeah, especially for women, the thought of growing old, it's almost got a lot of fear attached to it, doesn't it? And you're right, it seems like women are willing to spend a lot of money on preventing this from happening to them when really it is going to happen. We are all growing and we're all changing, and it's interesting that we perceive that as being a really negative thing.
Yeah, it is. Mm. I remember when I was very young, actually, seeing a documentary in Japan. They refer to people who hold special knowledge as living treasures. That's quite a long way along the polarity from anti-aging, isn't it?
Mm. I'm going to go back to that phrase that you've used of a conscious elder. What would you say is a conscious elder? What would a conscious elder be like?
A conscious elder will be someone who might just be working within her family,
mm-hmm.
or within her community, or more broadly than that, who's interested in issues that are current,
mm-hmm.
that are concerning, and to which indeed he or she may be able to contribute. So a conscious elder is someone who's got their eye on the big picture,
mm-hmm.
and they can now because they're past the things like raising a family, building a career, all of those things. They've brought all the skills that they've learned from all that time, and they're ready to use those skills in a much broader sense. So a conscious elder is someone who knows that this is their job, that they've set themselves up for it, and that they want to make a difference in the world.
And why do you think it's important for women to start thinking about this now? As you said, your workshop isn't for people who are it's for any women. You haven't designated a specific age group. Why do you think it's important that people do look forward and consider the type of person they're growing into? We're told so often to be present, which we know is definitely important for living our life at the moment and in enjoying our situation that we're in. But, why do you think it's also really valuable to look ahead?
Well, I think we're in a bit of dodgy position if we're just constantly in the present,
because
mm-hmm. You never know what's going to happen to you next. Everybody does a bit of planning, or quite a lot of planning. I think it's important because we shape ourselves and our lives so much by the way we think about ourselves and mm-hmm. about our environment, and also about our expectations. So if you expect to be a very old person who's not very well and not very useful, then most likely that's what you'll be. But I think you can choose who you turn out to be. Mm. Because as soon as we choose where we want to go, we start unconsciously making all sorts of decisions that actually take us there. And I think that's what we mean by visualization,
mm-hmm.
By all of those mind-changing methods that we use these days, really. We're quite rich in resources now, and we have a lot more choices. And the reason really that I focus on women in my workshop is because I think that women have a lot more difficulty with aging than men.
Mm.
So I think it's a different conversation.
Yeah, it's almost like we're not supposed to age, as if as women, our virtues in our, say, beauty or other things that we hold when we're younger. And how often do we hear things said like past their prime, or phrases like that that are really, really quite damaging and actually quite cruel?
Yeah, they are. And you don't very often hear people saying they saw a very beautiful old woman, do you?
No.
So beauty is part of it, and beauty is one of the things that we discuss in the workshop, because I think that it's such an important thing in our culture, such an important value, but we define it in a very narrow way. and at one level, really, which is a physical level.
Mm.
So I think it's very enriching for people to begin to think of themselves holistically and to think how they might want to become not only physically well, but mentally well, emotionally well, and spiritually ready to take on quite a great task. There is a big task waiting for people who have the resources, the strength, and the wisdom to take it up.
That sounds like there's a lot of important things that you are addressing in this workshop that's coming up tomorrow. How will you be running your workshop, and what could people expect that are interested in coming along?
It's a very interactive workshop. Initially, we think about issues of aging, how we think about aging.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go on to think about how many people we've had in our lives that made a difference, older people.
Mm-hmm.
And we also think about decisions or situations we've been in when having someone there would have made a difference, would have changed things for us. So we start to think about women of power.
Mm-hmm.
We start to think about elders we've encountered. People tell their stories. And then we move on and we begin to think about who we might want to become. So we move from the micro to the macro, and we start off thinking about the things that we want to do with our lives. And then we begin to come up with our dreams, not the dreams that we've been talking about earlier, but the other dreams that we might, that we've been thinking about our future, and we expand those and grow them. And women come up with things that they haven't dared to tell anybody before because they seem impossible,
mm.
or maybe not that useful, or people might say, no, you're not going to be able to do that. But they bring forward these dreams and begin to talk about them and realize that they do have time to find out what they need to know. Sometimes, last one I ran, a woman went away saying, well, I know now that I can do it, and I know now that I need to get some skills in order to be able to do it. And so she's gone off to do that. And people just hold those dreams. They go away with them. That's the treasure they take, and they start to unconsciously work towards them, and sometimes very consciously.
Mm.
I think it opens up possibilities for people who had considered that old age would be an ending. And of course it is eventually, so we do touch on that, the great ending.
Mm.
We talk about that nobody really wants to talk about, and
yeah.
which, you know, hangs over all of us all the time. So we come to terms with that, and we come to terms with the idea that we have this much time, what are we going to do with it?
It's a very different way. Well, I don't want to say different. It is a different way of approaching your life, and a more conscious way of approaching your life, isn't it? Because realistically, we are all on this earth for a limited time, and it is up to us what we do with that time. And it seems to me a much wiser thing to do to approach your life with the knowledge that, yes, it is going to end at some stage. Yes, my body might not be the same throughout my whole time. Well, it won't be the same throughout my whole time on this earth. And think realistically about, well, I've been given this time, what do I want to do with it? Rather than, I suppose, the alternative is living in denial that that's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to age. I'm not going to not be on this earth. These are confronting thoughts, I think, for women to think about, that I am going to be older one day, or I am going to be not here one day. But it's true. It's reality.
That's right. It's time to think very early in life about what legacy you might want to leave.
Mm.
Yeah, and this is an opportunity to do that.
It's interesting because it's something that we probably spend a lot of time not thinking about, But I can imagine that even though it might be frightening to address this, well, we said this word before, it also sounds like it's very empowering as well to confront this idea and be more clear about how you'd like to spend your time.
Yep, I think so. It is confronting, and you can do it early, come to terms with it, and then manage the rest of your life mm-hmm. without something hidden in the background of your mind mm-hmm. until it turns up and you think, oh, that's right, I'm here already, it's all over, and I didn't do those things that I could have done.
Mm.
Yeah.
So this session you're running tomorrow, would that be likely to be a small group session like the Dream Group that you've also run here at Beach Lane?
Yep, I always run smallish groups because they're very interactive. I think mm-hmm. it's important for everyone to be able to have a voice. So I have a limit of 12 people mm-hmm. for this workshop, the Elders Workshop, the Long View.
And it sounds like there's people are put in a position where they can access things quite deep, but I know that from going to one of your workshops that you do make people feel very comfortable and you create a space where it feels absolutely safe to talk about these things and to reflect on yourself as well.
Yeah.
So I think that this one will be very valuable for women to attend.
Yeah, I think that's a good point you raise because I'm so interested in this kind of thing that I forget that it's probably a bit daunting for people.
Mm.
Yeah, so you're right, Kate. And people who've come have been quite surprised that they felt quite safe and that they ended up interacting and having a lot more to say than they thought they would.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so if people are interested in coming to your workshop tomorrow, how can they make their last-minute booking?
Oh, well, they can either look on the Beach Lane
mm-hmm.
website. They can look on Eventbrite.
Mm-hmm.
It's on there. And if they want to, they can go to my website and just give me a call, Barbara Churcher. Just Google Barbara Churcher and you'll find me.
Sure. So www.beachlane.co, that's our website. And also they can contact us at Beach Lane if they're interested in possibly joining the Dream Group that's coming up as well.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you today, Barbara. And I'm really excited for the things that you'll be doing here at Beach Lane and your involvement.
Thanks very much, Kate. It's been a pleasure talking to you and dreaming with you.
Yes, it has been. It's been a real pleasure dreaming with you. Okay, thank you for listening in and coming and joining us here today at Beach Lane Presents. Enjoy your week.